Welcome back to the Thermo Diet Podcast. I'm your host, Jaden Miller, and I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Tyler Woodward.
How are we doing today, Jaden?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. So today we're going to be doing a topic of the month where we're going to go through a couple things that we're dealing with in life and things that we're focusing on supplementing with and just kind of go back and forth, a little bit of banter and see what happens.
Sounds good.
So Jaden, what is your struggle of the month?
My struggle of the month this month is that I've been super busy. And so, whenever it's come to dinner specifically, I've just had to opt for the best decision available to me at that time. I haven't been as thermo as I usually am.
So what you're saying is you've been eating a lot of Chipotle.
I wouldn't say I've been eating a lot of Chipotle, but, I don't know, like there was only sandwiches the other day for lunch. So, I mean,
yeah,
definitely ate some non-thermo bread and stuff like that. You know, I'm usually around 90% thermo most of the time, and I've probably gone down to like 75% the past probably 2 weeks. So that's been something that it hasn't necessarily been something that I've struggled with, but it's kind of just been something that it's like, I don't really have any other option. So, ready to get back on the wagon. I definitely know that I'll feel better whenever I kind of get my routine back.
What are your go-to meals when you can't afford to cook the real thermal meal?
Whenever I am cooking?
No, you can't cook.
Oh, so like what do I opt for if I got to eat out?
Yeah.
I mean, something like Modern Market's always nice because they got grass-fed steak. Mm. They got sourdough bread and stuff like that. So that's an easy choice. Depending on where I'm at or what I'm doing. If I'm like traveling, you know, beef jerky is kind of a go-to. If I can find a good beef jerky or like an Epic Bar or something like that, those are pretty easy to find.
I think Chipotle is not the worst option. Even though they cook in, I think it's peanut butter oil or peanut oil.
Rice bran oil.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you're supplementing with some vitamin E and you don't need it like often, you know, it's not going to be a terrible choice.
Yeah. Just get the steak.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a couple other brands that are like kind of thermo where it's like Buffalo Wild Wings cooks in tallow. What's the other one?
We actually went to this place called Wild Ooh. Pastures Burger Company the other day. That was really good. All grass-fed meat, really good bread.
Milkshake was dank.
Yeah, fries and tallow. It was really good.
It's really crazy, and I've noticed this with the chips as well we have in the office. So we got coconut oil chips versus the avocado oil. They're so much less greasy.
Mm-hmm.
Like it, and it's funny, like I used to make fun of people that would take like the napkin and get the grease off of pizza. But now it's like, the grease is like the PUFAs pretty much because they're just liquid at room temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really weird because it's, you just can eat chips while you're at your desk and pretty much type on your keyboard because your hands aren't really greasy versus the other ones. It's like, every time you eat a chip, you got to wipe your hands off.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Acai bowl places are another good one. Another quick one that's pretty easy to do.
Anywhere you can get steak too. Just have some cook it in butter if you can.
Yeah. Outside of that, those are probably the main things. I enjoy cooking, so I'm always going to opt to cook if I can.
Poke bowls are not bad either.
Yeah. Poke bowls are another good one. If you're eating a lot of fish a lot of the time, then it might be worth supplementing with like some activated charcoal just to make sure you're not getting a bunch of mercury in.
That's mostly from like the big fish, so like tuna though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, if I eat poke, I'm probably going to eat tuna. So
yeah, I mean, it's dank.
Yeah. If I'm eating it pretty frequently, then I'd probably supplement with a little bit of charcoal every once in a while.
So my struggle of the month has been waking up early. So I've been trying to go jiu-jitsu and I basically just, I was every day pretty much this week, I was like, all right, I'm going to go jiu-jitsu. And then every morning I was like, dude, let me just give 5 more minutes. And then 5 more minutes became 5:30 instead of 8:30.
Yeah. Yeah. My ability to wake up easily early in the mornings has definitely become more difficult since moving in with my girlfriend. It makes it a lot more difficult whenever there's somebody like, we can wait a couple more minutes.
I also feel like it's a lot harder to go to bed.
With a partner?
Yeah.
I've gotten used to it. It hasn't been something that's been super challenging for me. Definitely get a lot more hot, so the room has to be a lot more cool. But other than that, it really hasn't been that difficult. And it was initially, but after probably like a month or two, it was pretty easy.
Yeah. I need to work on, I feel like the best way to do it is just to get your ass up early one day and then you'll be tired that next night. So I've got to do that. I like to stay up too late on weekends. Then it's really hard to go to sleep at like 10 o'clock on Sunday.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that sleeping pattern and consistency with it is definitely helpful for sure. Yeah, I really like to sleep in on the weekends too, but I noticed that I can usually sleep in till about 8 o'clock and then I'll wake up and like be in kind of like this half sleep mode and I'll just be tired for the rest of the day if I don't get up like right whenever I wake up. So that's another tip that I'd recommend is just not being lazy and just getting out of bed whenever you wake up.
Yeah, that's my other issue. But I'm excited for Saturday wrestling tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, you going tomorrow?
100%.
Nice.
I might hit a hike after. So up next, book of the month.
Yeah, I've been reading a book called Critical Thinking, Methods for Clear Thinking and Analysis in Everyday Situations from the Greatest Thinkers in History. So it's a book that basically goes through different kinds of philosophers and how they've contributed to critical thinking and analysis, you know, with their philosophy or whatever.
Is it just a range of like classical philosophy and modern philosophy as well?
Yeah. So right now I'm on Kant. I don't know if it's Kant or
I think it's Kant.
Kant. Yeah. K-A-N-T for those of you who want to look it up. So starts off with like Aristotle and some of the Stoics, moves to like Descartes. And then, right now I'm on Kant and then, I'm probably only halfway through the book. So there's a handful more that are, going to come up.
Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I like it. It's interesting. It's nice to have like a variety in the book, which is interesting because I feel like a lot of times whenever I'm reading a book, it's just the same thing being said over and over again. And they're just like pounding that into your head. This one is nice because they talk about a lot of different ideas and perspectives in the same book. So, it's been refreshing.
It's crazy how much philosophy is written about philosophy. You know what I mean? Like I was looking into and somebody I definitely want to look into. I mean, not Kant, but who's the guy that says that I was looking into for a while? His saying is amor fati, love of fate.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know the guy's name?
I believe that's a Stoic quote. Isn't it like Greek?
I think, it's Latin, but he like kind of termed it. I forget what his name is. I think he's Canadian, but he's a really weak, feeble guy, but had a very a huge philosophy. He was very sickly his whole life, had a very interesting philosophy. I can't remember his name.
You're not talking about Nietzsche, are you?
Oh, I'm talking about Nietzsche. Thank you. There's like when you look into like what books to read, what recommendations, a lot of them are not Nietzsche's books. It's like books written about Nietzsche's work, which a lot of in-depth philosophy is just so hard for the average person. Not that you're pretty well read in it. I'm not as well read. So definitely good to read something like what you're reading before you dive into Nietzsche's books and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, like if you're wanting to get into philosophy, I definitely recommend watching a lot of YouTube videos on it. That helped my understanding a lot, especially like I was grappling with a lot of the more difficult topics in philosophy before I actually had like a fundamental, like baseline of knowledge. And so the YouTube definitely helped me build that foundation a little bit better. So I could then like connect a lot of those bigger ideas to like fundamental principles and stuff like that.
Who are your favorite YouTube philosophy channels?
I don't really have a specific one that I've looked at. What's the dude that does Crash Course?
Oh,
I really like his stuff.
I forgot he had a philosophy channel. I used to love his stuff for biology.
Yeah. Chemistry. He has all kinds of topics. So if you're a nerd, definitely check out his channel. Cause Crash Course is great. I used to hate it in high school, like having to sit and watch his videos, but now I go back to his channel and I'm like, damn, this guy is great.
Yeah. I love his stuff. So my book of the month is Carnivore Code, which is written by Paul Saladino. It's a pretty interesting book. It's interesting because Paul Saladino is now pretty much a Peter, even though he won't, you know, give Ray Pete any credit, which is, or I think he's pretty much stole Ray Pete's work. I can't can attest to that. Maybe he has some different opinions.
I've heard that from people who have worked with him too. So yeah.
Basically he went from being a really hardcore carnivore keto person to now he eats fruits, honey. And there's nothing wrong with changing your mind. I just, you know, give credit where it's due. Where I like that saying, it's like, we're all standing on the foot of giants. So it's like, you can be cool, but also, you know, give Ray Pete the shout out he deserves, in my opinion. But the book's really well written. And I think he pokes a lot of holes in the like vegan diet, which, I mean, basically the whole book is written attacking the vegan diet, basically saying why you need meat and why meat is so beneficial. And I do think he takes extreme stances on certain things, like how detrimental. You know what I learned recently? That phytic acid is also inositol, B8. So like phytic acid is how it's processed might be different. It might, like when we get inositol from the animal meats, it might not act like an anti-nutrient as it does in plants. But I thought that, and I'm just saw an Instagram post about this, just been boggling around my mind, haven't really looked into it too deep. But it was interesting to see like that some anti-nutrients might, and I think oxalates have some beneficial effects for teeth too. So it's some anti-nutrients probably have, like we've evolved to kind of be around with them.
Right, yeah. I mean, oxalates help with calcium deposition, like depositing calcium places. So I can see how they would be beneficial for teeth, but at the same time, there's also like kidney stones that can develop from stuff like that too. So
calcium oxalate crystals, yeah, for sure. I think it's definitely I'm probably like genetic thing a little bit, environment thing, and also like quantity for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I definitely recommend that book. Definitely not going carnivore keto anytime soon. Sounds pretty miserable. But I mean, I think the emphasis of that book how important animal meats are to us, to being healthy in general, and nutrients that are really only found. I mean, the amount of nutrients that are only found in animals, like carnitine, creatine, taurine is pretty much only found in animals. Glycine predominantly found in animals. Just a ton of amino acids, retinol. You could look at K2, which is largely found in animals. Retinol is a good one. D3, pretty much only found in animals. So there's just a number of nutrients that are just really, really hard to get in plants. And there's definitely something to anti-nutrients and trying to minimize them. I don't think, and there's also, I mean, Danielle asked me these questions, like, what do you see from people that end up going like strict carnivore diet? And plants definitely cause a lot of issues that people aren't expecting. Like people that are on high plant diet are, a lot of them have autoimmune conditions, and people see relief from getting rid of plants in their diet. And there's something to be said about that.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah. I've also seen a lot of people have a lot less inflammation in their body, specifically from like histamine reactions that are happening in their body from interactions with plants and stuff like that. So if you don't have any kind of allergies to different kinds of amino acids that might be found in meat, eliminating plants can definitely make a huge difference in your digestion. And I know a lot of people who have found the most success with Ray Pete's work, going fully carnivore and then slowly integrating carbohydrates back into their diet.
I see that.
I wouldn't necessarily recommend that. I would always have like at least 150 grams of carbs on your diet. But
well, what I would say is probably like try and like the elimination diet, try and eliminate as much foods that are irritating your gut as possible, which is really what carnivore does. Cause it's like, I mean, we're really good at digesting protein unless you're a vegan, have very low stomach acid. But I think protein is probably one of the easiest things to digest technically. Maybe carbs, I mean, sugar is probably even easier, but fat takes a lot of digestion. And especially when you do it all together. But yeah, I think that is a good strategy. It's also funny. He also talks about the like benefits of like from an environmental standpoint, like regenerative agriculture. And it's funny, I was having a conversation with someone and they were like, yeah, even if they can't drink milk, and because they're like very lactose intolerant, which I mean, I don't impose your thermo principles on everyone. You don't need to tell everyone that, oh, well, you're lactose intolerant because, you know, you're not drinking milk and you're hypothyroid. But he's like, even if I could drink milk, I wouldn't because it doesn't harm the cow. And I was just like, you ever like, I mean, I've never milked a cow, so I can't really talk, but like cows need to be milked. Like, they enjoy being milked, would you say?
I've milked a cow a couple of times. I can't really tell if they're enjoying it or not.
Well, it's like, I think they get uncomfortable if they don't get milked.
Yeah. There's definitely pressure that builds up in the, udder. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that milk is being produced to be drank by the babies. Yeah. So getting it out is definitely going to have some relieving effects. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't necessarily know if they enjoy being.
Maybe they don't enjoy. We can't tell, at least science says. But he was like, he's a huge nut milk proponent. And I'm just thinking, like, do you know how many bees are killed every year from
almonds?
Yeah, he loves almond milk. And thinking back, I was like, I should have just burst his bubble right there, because he was like, I mean, how much harm are you doing to a cow from milking it versus the millions of bees that are killed every year from farming almonds, among, I'd assume, other nuts in California?
Yeah. On top of that, like, all of the water that they have to transport in because they're in a drought. Yeah, it's insane.
Up next, food of the month.
Yeah. So my food of the month was some meatball subs that me and my girlfriend made. So we found, like, the bakery down the street from us has some sourdough baguettes that they make. And then we just got some grass-fed meat. I sprinkled a little bit of masa in it to help it stick.
Interesting.
And then put, like, a cracked egg in there, put all my seasoning in there, made the meatballs, then just poured over some, like, sauteed onions and then some tomato sauce over the top. And
what kind of cheese do you use?
I think we used mozzarella cheese.
Mozzarella.
I could have also used cheddar. I mean, I kind of like mixing cheeses sometimes for something like that. So, it was really good.
I'm sure that was fire. It's also, like, it's crazy. Like, sandwiches like that are, like, a great way. Carbs, protein, fat. It's great. Great meal. And meal parms are just so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of good food you can make.
Yeah. I think, looking back on it, if I were to do it again, I would cut the meatballs in half and kind of put them across the sandwich, because just having the giant ball in the middle of the sandwich made it a little difficult to eat.
Mm-hmm. It was a long roll, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. That was my favorite, personally.
Yeah. It was good.
One of the next things I want to do is I want to get wild pastures or one of those meat services, and I'm going to get a little freezer. Just so I don't, like, cause I can't take up the whole freezer with my roommates there. And that I'm excited for, because then I can just make, like, anything, which would be cool. I also might look into firing a bottle for pork, the low poof of pork. I think that'd be so cool.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. I think Wild Pastures pork is pretty dang good.
Yeah. I also wouldn't mind that. It's pretty good. But if you can get that low poof, if we get low poof eggs too, like, that would be tight.
Yeah, definitely. If I ever get a house, I definitely want to have some chickens and get my own eggs that way.
Dude, I was thinking, because, like, Chris and Taryn talking about this, like, dude, we could have chickens on the roof.
Here?
Yeah.
I feel like that'd be a terrible life for those poor chickens.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
They'd have the whole roof just roam around.
Yeah, and then they would have pigeons out there teasing them, like, look how free I am. They're stuck in a cage.
Well, we can have them off the cage. I feel like they just won't fly. I guess they could just fly down. We'll just lose them forever.
Can chickens, like, really fly?
I think they can fly a couple of feet.
I don't think they'd be able to fly off the building, though.
No, but they could, like, just jump down here, don't you think? Onto, like, the deck ledge.
Might be a rough landing.
Yeah. I've seen chickens get a couple of feet up in the air, but whatever. So my food of the month is a bison steak.
Oh.
So we brought Andrew Kays out last week, I guess?
Yep.
The Umzu Transformation Contest winner. And on Friday night, went for a nice steak dinner with the team. And it was unreal. Had never had bison steak before. Highly recommend anyone that has the opportunity to eat bison steak. It was pretty incredible. What did you end up eating?
I had the bison ribeye.
Oh, that's what I think. I had the porterhouse.
Okay.
So I think it's the same cut, they said, right?
I don't remember exactly how he explained it.
I thought he said porterhouse pretty much is a bigger ribeye.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But it was great. Grass-fed, grass-finished, super tender. That was probably one of, if not the best steak that I've ever had.
It was good. Taryn's steak was also really good. We both tried. It was the filet, I think.
$10 the filet. Venison?
That was venison?
The bite that I had was venison. I think it was Chris's, actually.
Okay. I think I had a piece of Taryn's steak, which is pretty good. But we did find out, so Andrew and Danielle did the taste testing thing. So you were able to order a platter. So they had grass-fed, grass-finished beef, grass-fed, grain-finished beef, corn-fed beef, which I think pretty much means grass-fed till, you know, they eat corn for the last couple months.
Yeah, like 30 days or something like that.
Yeah, and then bison. And they all said the corn was the worst, which is interesting. But I think generally the, you know, quote-unquote higher quality or more expensive meats are generally less thermo. Because they generally, the grain and feeding them the PUFAs gives them that marbling. So that's not natural. So it's like the stuffing. It's kind of like the goose thing where they stuff the geese with a ton of fat. What's that called again? We were talking about this.
I don't really, I remember this conversation. They like force feed them to where their mm-hmm. liver is extra fatty so that it gets more weight.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically it's just like feeding the cows an unnatural diet, makes them have that marbling, like that Wagyu beef that tastes really good. The grass fed, grass finished beef. I think it also depends on like how it's done, probably the environment and all the nutrients they're getting. But I think the more grass fed something is, tends to be a little bit more gamier a little bit. Which is, you know, teach their own. I really enjoy grass finished beef. Don't have any issue with it, but the Wagyu beef is technically a little less thermo. Bison though.
Yeah, that bison was good.
Yeah. So video of the month.
Yes. Video of the month for me was the ADCC. For those of you who don't know, the ADCC World Championships happened like 2 weekends ago, which is the Abu Dhabi Combat Club Grappling World Championships. Is basically just like a giant wrestling and jiu-jitsu tournament. Yeah, I really enjoyed watching that. It was awesome.
Yeah, Gordon went to town.
Yeah.
I did not check much of it out, but I did see some highlights for sure. The guy's a beast. My activity or video of the month is the Recommended Daily Value podcast videos. So we're coming out with a podcast that will be released by the time this video airs. And there's going to be a ton of little clips. Might make its own Instagram channel. But it should be coming around. Really excited to get that out there. It'll be sweet. We've got 20 videos in so far.
Heck yeah. I'm excited to see that too.
Mm-hmm. So activity of the month.
Yes. Activity of the month for me, I went to a networking event called Artists, Athletes, and Activators. Mm-hmm. And they had two discussion panels, one with like some artists / athletes. And then one who was just like a panel of fighters pretty much. And it was interesting to hear them talk. It's really fascinating how misguided a lot of them are whenever it comes to like what is best for their body and what makes them perform best. One of them was up there and was a plant-based athlete. And I was like, I think you probably could have done a lot better in your career if you would have not been plant-based. One of the things that she mentioned from the plant-based diet was like a decrease in inflammation, which is a subjective measure for one. But also it could have been just simply the things that she was eating at the time too. Like, you know, a lot of super heavy protein and maybe the timing of it have been beneficial.
I don't think it's hard to go like to be healthier plant-based than you were when you were normal average American diet.
This is true too.
So it's like, I think she's far from optimal. It's plant-based, but it's like, oh yeah, I just went from like now I'm eating all organic, locally sourced greens and fruits compared to, you know, my KFC diet last week.
Right.
So like it's all, obviously they're going to feel a lot better on plant-based. I just don't think it's sustainable long-term or optimal.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would agree. Right?
Definitely. Yeah. It is kind of nice to see that they're super into like the optimization realm and stuff like that too. A lot of them definitely are knowledgeable in certain realms, especially about recovery and stuff like that. Maybe not necessarily like diet, but, some of them mentioned using like red light, like beds, like the tanning beds for red light. Mm. And then like combining that with nasal breathing is something that they were super adamant about and said that like a lot of the, I don't know, companies that they work for with the UFC are very adamant about nasal breathing and the benefits that it has, which I thought was super interesting. So I really enjoyed that event. There was a lot of cool insights. Surprisingly, a lot of the current athletes in the UFC use psychedelics for their training too, which is fascinating.
That is interesting.
Like
during their training?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like some of them supplement like microdose on a daily basis, which I found quite interesting. I enjoyed that. It was fascinating.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting. My activity of the month was mountain biking. So I rented a mountain bike for actually it was like Labor Day weekend. So I guess that was right into September. And I got lucky because usually it's $100 for a day. I got it for the whole weekend because they were closed over the holiday weekend. And went to a couple of trails in Denver. Actually, mountain bike, the trail we went to with Andrew Kays last week, which walking up it made me feel like a wimp. So I was like, wow, this is not hard. But it, on a mountain bike, it was pretty tough because it's just so steep, rocks everywhere. But I used to work for a mountain bike shop or a bike shop in high school. So it was good to get back out on the two wheels. Looking forward to getting a mountain bike in the future. But damn, they're expensive. So definitely will be something to save up for, have some fun, get some sun around here. It's also just so many beautiful trails. Just a reason to get outside in Colorado is just, you need it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
Movement practice of the month.
Yeah, for me, like jiu-jitsu has been something that's pretty consistent. I've finally been like feeling really good in jiu-jitsu up until I got this. If you're watching the video, I got a scratch on my nose. I got split open the other day, but it's healing pretty quick, which I'll kind of talk about on our next point whenever we talk about supplements, because I think that has been contributing to it a little bit as well. But other than jiu-jitsu, I've really been enjoying like EMOM, like every minute on the minute workouts. Those are extremely efficient and I've really enjoyed them. It's definitely been something that it's been a nice change of pace, so to speak. So it's been nice to kind of experiment with those. And I'll either do it to where like I have five different exercises that I'll go through for like a 5 minute period and then do like go through them four times for a 20 minute period. Or I'll do like the exact same thing for a certain amount of reps for 20 sets, so to speak. So, you know, once a minute, every minute for 20 minutes. So I've been enjoying that a lot.
I'm actually gonna change my answer. This week I switched from a neuro phase, which is like really, you know, high weight, low reps, like very intense workouts. And in a neuro phase, you want as much time between, ideally, like you'd probably take 10 minutes between sets so you can like, you know, recover fully. Obviously I don't want to be in the gym for 4 hours. So you take like 4 or 5 minutes, or maybe you like superset two exercises so you have longer time. But a lot of it's in the brain. It's not necessarily like when you're doing really high weight, low reps, it's like your muscles aren't fatiguing as much as you would think. A lot of it's like your central nervous system ability, like recruit the proper neurotransmitters and like actually fire, and your ability to sustain that for a long period of time. So you want as much time as possible, pretty much. Switch up to a systemic phase, which is basically like cardio in the gym without doing cardio. So it's right now I'm doing, and this is part of the new Olympus program that we're rolling out. This will be the first phase you get into. So I'm still in a little bit of a fat loss phase, but basically it's like you're combining movements that take through a full range of motion with a decent amount of tension. You're not doing a crazy high weight. You're doing relatively high reps, and then you're getting not a lot of rest between sets. So right now I'm doing about 90 seconds between the two compound movements, which I start with. So yesterday was Romanian deadlifts and dumbbell low incline press, chest press. And I'm gonna do this just something, I mean, being done a workout in like 50, 55 minutes feels great. And also just like, it feels good to sweat. Even though, you know, being out of breath isn't as thermo as you'd like, and not being able to nose breathe, which is kind of the intent of the workouts. It is stressful for sure. But it's just like, it's just a nice breath of fresh air, change it up, have a little bit shorter workouts, and the next phase will also be even shorter. So it'll be nice to go back into that. And then I'll be back into like hour plus workouts, which will be a little sad, but you know, you had some time and you took a break, and then that's the muscle building phase. So that's when, you know, you're really getting the results.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully by that time we have an office gym set up completely.
Yes, sir. We should by that time. And then I do I do like three exercises, like pretty much as little rest as I can, but it is nice. You get a nice pump and you get some cardio training in.
Oh yeah.
Up last but not least, supplement of the month.
Yeah. So my supplement of the month for this month is pregnenolone. I've really enjoyed the benefits from pregnenolone. This time around, I've talked about pregnenolone in the past, on the podcast and off of the podcast. And, this time around, I got a new brand of pregnenolone, and it's a liquid version instead of a powder version, which I think is beneficial. It's a USP grade, pretty cheap pregnenolone supplement, from BHRT. Just got it on Amazon. It's only $20, which is great. It's in fractionated coconut oil and vitamin E. my duration of focus has been longer. So I noticed that I can kind of get into a good, like, for lack of a better term, like a flow state for a while. So instead of being able to focus really good from like 8 to noon, I've been able to focus really well from like 8 to about 1:30 in the afternoon, which is nice. So that's been super awesome. On the bottle, it says to do it topically, but I mean, it's suspended in coconut oil and vitamin E. So I've been doing it sublingually. I haven't really experienced any negative thing from it. So I'll probably continue to do it sublingually. But yeah, so duration of focus has been great. Motivation to do things has gone up a little bit, which is nice. Like, I don't really have to talk myself up as much to do stuff, which is nice. And then, this scratch on my nose has been healing like really fast compared to what I thought it was going to, cause it was a pretty deep cut whenever it happened. So I think it's been healing a little bit faster just because of the pregnenolone. I've also been, have eaten liver twice since it's happened. So I think that's probably contributed to it too. Just making sure that it has plenty of raw materials that it needs to heal. And then, the first 2 days that it happened, I also put honey on it after you mentioned something too. And I think that helped as well.
Yeah. I think it's just a good way to, like, it's antibacterial. And just anytime, like, there was that phase when we were young where it was like, you want to cover everything. And then it was like, oh no, you want to expose to oxygen. And knowing what we know, I think the last thing you want to do is to expose to oxygen. So, I mean, what is your skin other than just a barrier to keep oxygen out, more or less? I mean, among other things, but.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it could be beneficial to let it air out, but at the same time, like, having a seal over it to allow CO2 production to happen is going to be beneficial.
Yeah. I'm just thinking you kind of want to keep the oxidation from the oxygen to limit that.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing is like, there's a lot of pus and stuff that can grow into it. So I think like letting it air out for that reason would be beneficial. And then after it's aired out, like having a seal over it.
Yeah. Supplement of the month. So my supplement of the month has been creatine. So I've been adding that back in. I still have your jar that you gave me. I'm supposed to, what's today's day? The 29th.
30th.
All right. Tomorrow I should have my own creatine finally in. But it's just been beneficial. Been getting some good workouts in. I haven't been as consistent as I would like, probably because I'm not doing smoothie every day, just because I'm trying to lose weight. But I think it's been beneficial and helping with performance as well as I continue to lose weight. And been looking pretty juicy. It's funny because like I wore like the Punisher rash guard I have, and I was thinking about it. I was like, damn, I look so much smaller than I did at 220. Cause I mean, like, I lost a lot of weight in the gut, which is great, but the arms also lose a lot.
Oh yeah. That's the first thing to go for me. That and my chest go first, and then I'll start losing fat in the other areas. And probably for a solid month, I just look really weird with my shirt off.
I feel like my chest looks way better when I lose weight because I feel like chest is very perceptive. If that's the right word, where it's like the less gut you have, the bigger your chest looks. So that's been helping me out. But I'm excited to see where we end up this year. I'm not like too pressed about a number I won. I was aiming for 185, but I don't know if that'll happen. 190.
That's low too.
Yeah, that's pretty low. I haven't been that low in a while. I was at 188 for Miami, which was like 16 months ago. But I was at 188 for like 30 seconds. You know, it wasn't like a real, like, so I'm gonna try and maintain wherever I get to for at least a couple weeks before going to this next phase of training. But it's funny though, like, you take the shirt off, it's just like after a pump, it's like, damn. But you put your shirt on, it's just like, I'm a regular average day, normal guy.
Do you even lift, bro?
Yeah. Which is, honestly, I don't mind it. It's, I go to the gym with a bunch of meatheads. So they're all like, I don't want to be to the phase where it's like, I can't fit through doors. And everyone that sees me is like, wow, I wonder what that guy lifts. Like, nah.
Yeah.
That ain't it. For me, everyone has their own thing.
Yeah.
If you guys like this, just let us know in the comments. And you want to wrap it up?
Yeah. We'll have some links in the show notes for some of the things that we talked about, for like the books and the supplements and stuff, if you're interested in checking those out. And then we'll catch you in the next one.
Have a good one. Peace.